G'day, welcome back to the Convergently Speaking podcast. Today I want to look at the topic of friendship. Specifically looking at something which I've come to use sort of as a rubric for interpreting the quality of the relationships in my life. I think I had a conceptualization of this, but hadn't fully been able to put it into words until one day I was listening to a track by Akira the Don. Akira the Don has actually invented his own genre, which he calls Meaning Wave. And with Meaning Wave, what he does is he creates some tracks, some music, beats, whatever the vibe he's going for, and then he overlays the talks or different inspirational interviews and speakers as the lyrics for the music. So whilst the music's really good. The underlying motivation is to use the music as sort of like a vehicle for transferring the message of the speakers that he's putting over the top. And I was listening to a song from one of his albums, which is all tracks which have Dr. Jordan Peterson's language and talks and stuff over the top. There's a track called Make Friends with People Who Want the Best for You. And for anyone who's familiar with Jordan Peterson's work, this is one of the rules from his book, 12 Rules for Life. I think I was familiar with this rule, but it wasn't until I heard it in a song, and he uses that line over and over, make friends with people who want the best for you, that the penny suddenly dropped that this is a brilliant framework for analyzing and assessing the quality of one's relationship. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I've had a tendency in the past to, you know, want to rescue people thinking that I somehow have extra super powerful empathy or powers of healing that I can go in and rescue people, and that I've got the answers, and this kind of a bit of a savior mentality, I suppose. And there's a lot to this, but you know, I see this as a particular like a temperament that some of us have that are in the helping profession. Maybe for those that identify as an empath, highly sensitive person, this kind of thing. You know, I've got a background in counseling and working in mental health. And so without realizing it, especially in my early 20s, but from time to time since, I sometimes have set up and created relational dynamics with people where, you know, they have a problem and I think I'm going to be the solution. Maybe it's not that overt, but, you know, someone who's struggling and I tend to be a listening ear, but I don't tend to share with that person. And as I've looked at it and analyzed it, and think about it now, I've done this for probably 15, 20 years on and off. I start to go, well, hold on. I listen to this person, but I'm not sure they really listen to me. And when I think about sharing about what's happening for me and what that would look and feel like, I can often realize, yeah, I don't really feel comfortable to share. I don't think we have the type of relationship where this person expects to hear from me. Now, it's easy to blame this person, these people, but I've realized that I've been absolutely, I'm a culprit as well in this dynamic. It feels good to be needed. And sometimes we can even hide from our own stuff by listening to others and, you know, convincing ourselves that we're being selfless and just caring for the other. And as you've probably already might be running ahead, there's a name for this, and it's called a one-sided relationship. So as I say, I've thought and wrestled with and had all various different relational dynamics over the years, but I've just found this one rule for life, or this one concept of making friends with people who want the best for you, best for us, or looking at the relationships we have in our life and assessing whether we feel these people want the best for us and whether we actually sincerely want the best for them as well. Sometimes we find ourselves in relationships where we realize that if we share anything good or exciting about what's happening in our life with a quote-unquote friend, that instead of getting a hug or, you know, congratulations, or, you know, they want to take you out for a drink to celebrate, you know, we can feel a resentment or a jealousy or a competitive nature that's coming from that person, where they feel they need to then one-up us or even just tear us down by, you know, not matching our level of excitement, but maybe just making a bit of a negative or a critical statement. This isn't a person that wants the best for us. And quite possibly this is a relationship that's not meant to love. It's not going to serve us moving forward. And I used to think, actually, that if I want the best for someone and they don't want the best for me, you know, if I'm caring about them and they're not caring for me, then the issue is with them. And don't get me wrong, this can most certainly be the case. There are people that are choosing on a daily basis to make selfish decisions rather than selfless. But like I talked about in the last episode, I think every relationship is its own microsystem. And I learned myself the hard way with some relationships that I had in my life that there's culture and different rhythms that can be created within these relationships, and that can't always be changed. We always bring a whole bunch of unconscious stuff that comes from our woundings and our insecurities and even our strengths and things we have confidence in that we then bring into our relationships. And sometimes the alchemical mix of our personality and another's is just not a good one. I remember in school there were kids that I could relate to well in a one-on-one context. But once they got together with two or three others and it made a little group, all of a sudden these people would be rude and mean and pick on me. And I could never understand why one-on-one they were fine. There was a personality of its own that was contained, or that was created when, you know, a specific group of people got together. This is literally what they call like a mob mentality. You put a bunch of people together that are all angry about the same thing and you have yourself a mob. So this thing I just wanted to, you know, offer as a gift almost today. I found it really, really empowering and a really lovely shorthand for, you know, assessing the quality of relationships. Now, what can you do about this? You know, you don't have to just instantly cut off a relationship if you feel this is what's going on. Of course, there's a possibility you don't have all the information, you're not interpreting it right. You might have strength of relationship to bring this up with the person and let them know, hey, you know, have you ever noticed that when I share joys and achievements, you don't really encourage me in it? You sort of compete, or you sort of whatever the dynamic that you've got going on is. I'm always an advocate for clear, open discussion. But I don't want to go off on a rabbit trail down communication and that kind of thing at this point, because we get, you know, extremely hypothetical. I'm not, you know, this isn't a specific situation to analyze, but rather if you're struggling in a relationship and you're wondering if it's healthy and if this is a relationship that's supporting you to grow and become who you want to be and become to use a cliche, the best version of yourself, then I think this is just a brilliant rubric for interpreting that. Does this person want the best for you? When they share their joys and you're excited and then you share yours, do they get on board with that? Do they cheer you on? Are they, you know, little things? Do they remember your birthday? Do they call you up or send you a text when you've had a difficult situation going on in your life? Or are they always wanting to borrow money or only making contact with you when seemingly when they want something from you? More and more, I think social skills are atrophying as we're spending more and more time online. And I think there are many people that don't know or have lost the skill of relationship and relating. And I'm sure we've all got some of those people in our life. But generally speaking, it's not our job to teach or educate our friends how to be friends. I'm sure there's exceptions, I'm sure there's moments, but taking that too far down, taking that line of thinking too far along, you just end up with this rescuer dynamic, or at the very least just a power imbalance, an odd dynamic that you don't need in your friendship. You know, friendships should be at a basic level simple. You know, you care about and like one another. So that's all I have for you today. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on the next Convergently Speaking podcast.